know of this later, but I now say this with great assurance. Gosani kuliya kuliya hoite chalila vrindavan sangesa sahastreka loka yata bhaktagan. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to proceed from Kuliya toward Vrindavan, thousands of men were with him, and all of them were devotees. Yahanyaya prabhu tahan koti sankyaloka dekite aise deki kande dukaso shoka. Wherever the Lord visited, crowds of innumerable people came to see him. When they saw him, all their unhappiness and lamentation disappeared. Yahan yahan prabhura charana padaye chalite se mritika laya loka garta haye pate. Wherever the Lord touched the ground with his lotus feet, people immediately came and gathered the dirt. Indeed, they gathered so much that many holes were created in the road. Potholes. Oiche kali aila prabhu rama keri gram godera nikata grama ati anupam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually arrived at a village named Ramakeli. This village is situated on the border of Bengal and is very exquisite. Purport: Ramakeli gram is situated on the banks of the Ganges on the border of Bengal. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis had their residences in this village. Tahan ritya kare prabhu preme achetana koti koti loka aise dekite charana. While performing sankirtan in Ramakeli gram, the Lord danced and sometimes lost consciousness due to love of God. While he was at Ramakeli gram, an unlimited number of people came to see his lotus feet. Gaudeshwara yavana raja prabhava shuninya kahite lagila kichu vismita hanya. When the Mohammedan king of Bengal heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence in attracting innumerable people, he became very astonished and began to speak as follows. Purport: at that time, the Mohammedan king of Bengal was Nawab Hasan Saha Badasaha. Vinyadane etaloka yangra pache hoya setago sanya iha janiha nischaya. Such a person who is followed by so many people without giving them charity must be a prophet. I can surely understand this fact. Kaji avana ihara na kariha himsana apana ichhaya bulun yahan ungharaman. The Mohammedan king ordered the magistrate, "Do not disturb this Hindu prophet out of jealousy. Let him do his own will wherever he likes." Purport: even a Mohammedan king could understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental position as a prophet. Therefore, he ordered the local magistrate not to disturb him, but to let him do whatever he liked. Keshava Chatrire Raja Varta Puchila Prabhura Mahima Chitra Udaila Udayadila. When the Mohammedan king asked his assistant Keshava Chatri for news of the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Keshava Chatri, although knowing everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tried to avoid the conversation by not giving any importance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Purport: Keshava Chatri became a diplomat when questioned about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he knew everything about him, he was afraid that the Mohammedan king might become his enemy. He gave no importance to the Lord's activities so that the Mohammedan king would take him to be an ordinary man and would not give him any trouble. Bhikkhari sannyasi kare tirita pariyatana Tangre dekhi bhare aisa dui chari janna. Keshava Chatri informed the Mohammedan king that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a mendicant, touring different places of pilgrimage, and that as such, only a few people came to see him. Politics. Yavane tomaratani kareye lagani Tanra hinsaya labhanahi haya arahani. Keshava Chatri said, out of jealousy, your Mohammedan servant plots against him. I think you should not be very interested in him, for there is no profit in it. Rather, there is simply loss. Rajare prabhoti keshava brahmana patana chalibarya tare prabhure pataila kahina. After pacifying the king in this way, Keshava Chatri sent the Brahmana messenger to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting him to leave without delay. Dabira kashere raja puchila nibrite gosanira mahima tengho lagila kahite. In private, the king inquired from Dabir Kash, Srila Rupa Goswami, who began to speak about the glories of the Lord. Yeto mare raja dila yeto mara gosana tomara deshe tomara bhage janmila asina. Srila Rupa Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave you this kingdom and who you accept as a prophet, has taken birth in your country due to your good fortune. Tomara mangala vanche karya siddhi haya ihara ashirvade tomar sarvatra ijaya. This prophet always desires your good fortune. By his grace, all your business is successful. By his blessings, you will attain victory everywhere. More kena puchatumi puchapanamana tumi naradhipa hao vishnu angshasam. Why are you questioning me? Better that you question your own mind. Because you are the king of the people, you are the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you can understand this better than I. Tomara chite chaitanyera kaiche haya gyana tomara chite yelaya seta praman. Thus, Srila Rupa Goswami informed the king about his mind in a way of knowing, as a way of knowing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He assured the king that whatever occurred in his mind could be considered evidence. Raja kahe shunamora mane ye laya sakshat ishvara ihan nahika sanshaya. The king replied, I consider Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt about it. Eta kahi raja gela nija abhyantare Dabe Dabira Kasha Aila Apanaragare. After having this conversation with Rupa Goswami, the king entered his private house. Rupa Goswami, then known as Dabir Kas, also returned to his residence. Purport: a monarch is certainly a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of all planetary systems. In each and every planet, there must be some king, governmental head, or executive. Such a person is supposed to be the representative of Lord Vishnu. On behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must see to the interest of all the people. Therefore, Lord Vishnu, as Paramatma, gives the king all intelligence to execute governmental affairs. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore asked the king what was in his mind concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and indicated that whatever the king thought about him was correct. Om Agyanati Mrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kavati Vachalam Tungum Mangayate Girim Yatkripata Maham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarnam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a continuation. The Lord is planning to go to Vrindavan, and as we find out from Nrisinghananda Brahmachari, that he's building this pathway in his mind for the Lord to traverse on his way to Vrindavan. And because he's no longer able to continue after a certain point, he makes the prediction that the Lord will not actually get to Vrindavan, that he will return. And that story is elaborated later on in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then here it continues that as the Lord is progressing on his way, supposedly to Vrindavan, all these thousands and thousands of devotees are following him. There's a great event. If we could imagine if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present in the world today, how wonderful it would be for all the Vaishnavas. Thousands of devotees would be following him everywhere, taking the dust from his feet and making potholes in the road. Of course, nowadays the roads are a little harder than they were in those days. The Lord is traveling and thousands of devotees are following him, and anybody who saw the Lord, all their unhappiness, all their distress, all their lamentation would disappear. So this is also a very nice point. Simply by seeing a devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee of the Lord, an ordinary person can be freed from all kinds of material, negative material emotions, distress, unhappiness, lamentation, simply by seeing a pure devotee. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna acting as his own pure devotee. So the same thing is taking place. All of these innocent people, as he's traveling, they're hearing that this great personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming through our village on his way to Vrindavan. Let's go see him. Let's go see him. Let's hear him speak. Let's hear the kirtan. And they're totally awestruck by the Lord, by his beautiful features, by his dancing, by the kirtans. And all of their material lamentations and miseries simply disappear. This is one of the signs of devotional service described by Rupa Goswami. One who takes to devotional service, he's freed from material distress. It's not pure devotional service necessarily, but in the sense that just as one of the beginning or first stages of devotional service, that one is relieved of all material distress. So here, this is an example of that. And we all have experience, particularly those of us who were in the presence of Srila Prabhupada and those who were his followers, just by reading his books, by seeing him on film, we feel a sense of relief. Aside from knowledge and jnana and understanding of spiritual topics, we feel a sense of relief from material distress, from the onslaughts of material nature, because we're coming in contact with someone who is completely free from material nature, who is on the platform of Anandamayo Vyasa, who is no longer experiencing the influence of the three modes of material nature. And that association enters into our heart, purifies our heart, and initially gives us this freedom, this feeling of freedom from material distress. This is also one of the symptoms of the mode of goodness. One who comes to the mode of goodness by following the regulated principles of devotional service and process of Krishna consciousness, he can be elevated first to the mode of goodness and experience a sense of relief from material miseries, a sense of happiness. However, of course, this is not the ultimate goal, just to experience happiness or relief from material distress. So we have to go further in our practice of Krishna consciousness and become purified and relieved of all kinds of anarthas from our heart. So here the Lord is continuing, getting so many people are coming and relishing his dancing activities and the kirtans and hearing him discuss Krishna Katha. And then he arrives at the village of Ramakeli, which is described here as a very exquisite. I don't know exactly what an exquisite village during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might look like, but you could imagine perhaps that it was very clean, that it was wonderfully decorated with fruits and flowers and perhaps beautiful statues of deities and gold and silver and flower wreaths hanging, just as we read descriptions of the city of Dwarka in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was a very exquisite village, and this happens to also be the residence of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswamis. And to that effect, we can also understand it was somewhere in that area, it was the locality of the main Mohammedan king of the time. At that time, Bengal was ruled by Mohammedan kings. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who at that time they were known as Dabir Khas and Sakir Amalak, they were in the service of the king, and they were living in that village, and somehow the Lord, by his arrangement, entered that village so that he could give his association to Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, and that could further his pastimes of spreading Krishna consciousness by allowing them to eventually leave and become Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Then the king, his name is Nawab Hussain Saha Badasaha. He comes to hear that Mahaprabhu is in his area attracting innumerable people, and he becomes astonished and begins to speak. And Srila Prabhupada continues as we go on here about the purpose and the power of the king. And here he is asking his, he orders his magistrate not to disturb the Hindu prophet out of jealousy, but to let him do whatever he likes. So he could understand in his mind, he must have been very keen, very intelligent, very learned, because he could understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somebody special. He couldn't understand exactly who, but he knew that the Lord was something special. That would have been pretty obvious if thousands of people are following you around, that you might be a special person. Of course, nowadays, this could be misunderstood. There's a lot of bogus yogis and bogus religionists who have many thousands of followers. I remember when I was a young teenager, about 14, 15 years old, before I came in touch with Krishna consciousness, I was searching for something spiritual, and I came in touch with all sorts of yogis at that time. In those days, Pushkar will remember, we had Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and I remember Guru Maharaji, he was the big one, and Swami Satchinananda. We used to call him Brahma. He used to call him Swami Snachavadala. And we had a name for another one of them. Huh? Vivekananda, he wasn't alive then. No. But he had followers, but he wasn't alive then. It was early 1900s. Oh, Sun Myung Moon, yeah. Well, aside from the Vedic ones, you had all kinds of Sun Myung Moon. Who else was there? There's Children of God. I guess you could even include, who was that guy? Manson? Charles Manson? All these people, Jim Jones, yeah. All these people had somehow or other, this Kali Yuga empowers these low-class people to become powerful and lead people and inspire people somehow or other. It's just the nature of this Kali Yuga. Can't really explain, but I remember I was looking into all these different people, and I went to see this Guru Maharaji. He was sitting on his throne on a stage, and hundreds of people in the auditorium. Can't remember what he said or did. I understand in some of his big meetings he would actually get up, and I've seen videos of it, play a flute and dance like Krishna.
You literally said he was an incarnation of Krishna? Oh, I also saw this other one. He was dead at the time. This one, he was always, he took this vow of silence. Meher Baba, yeah. I still have his pamphlet. I went through some of my... right. I was Krishna, now I'm Meher Baba. They come up with such nonsense, but they get followers. How is that? It's just like inconceivable. And they get many followers. Not just a few. Some of these get hundreds and thousands of followers. Who's the other one still alive now? Sai Baba. Yes, Sai Baba. He's one of the... And these people get thousands of followers. So nowadays you can't judge a person just by their followers. But somehow or other the Mohammedan king here, he attributed Mahaprabhu's big following to his being a real holy man of some sort. And particularly his understanding came from understanding he wasn't paying them to follow him. I guess in India it's kind of a strange mentality sometimes. You can pay people off to follow you. Maybe not in America, maybe yes, maybe no. But he could understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very special person. So he told his minister not to bother him. And then he decided to inquire from his assistant, Keshava Chhatri. That's a Hindu name, right? So he's a Hindu. But they were renamed. Dabir Ka Sakramali. Here the name is still Keshava Chhatri, and somehow or other he was one of his assistants anyway. And he wanted to know more about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I guess Keshava Chhatri took it in the wrong way. He thought that if he was to explain to the king about the great influence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would somehow get envious or become his enemy. So he kind of downplayed Lord Chaitanya's influence and just said he's just an ordinary mendicant and a few people are following him around and he'll be gone in a few days. And then he even sent a message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just so to protect him so that there wouldn't be any problem. He actually sends a message and tells him to leave. However, the king, being intelligent, must have known that something's wrong with that explanation. So, there's something wrong. I've heard about thousands of people following this person. There must be something more to it. Let me ask my other assistant, Dabir Khas. And of course, this is Rupa Goswami, or will be Rupa Goswami at a later time. And he asks him, and Rupa Goswami's pretty frank about the whole thing. At this point, he understands who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. He's gotten that insight. I can't remember how he came into that knowledge, but as we know, when he meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then this beautiful prayer comes from his mouth, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gaura Tushe Namaha. So he knows who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and indirectly he says to the king, and that person who gave you this kingdom and whom you accept as a prophet has taken birth in your country due to your good fortune. So he's telling the king directly that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're very fortunate to be the king at the time when the Lord appears in your kingdom. This prophet always desires your good fortune. By his grace, all your business is successful. By his blessings, you will attain victory everywhere. Indirectly, he's saying to the king that if you accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as such, then you will be successful. Your life will be successful. Your kingdom will be successful. You will be victorious. You will receive blessings, etc. This we also understand by practicing Krishna consciousness. Personally, individually, we we will be blessed by the Lord, we'll be protected by the Lord. Although it's not something that we ask the Lord for, pure devotional service is free from any desire for material gain, or we don't actually pray to the Lord to protect us. On the higher levels of devotion, we simply accept whatever the Lord's plan is, and we want to simply be His servant. But another part of devotional service on the lesser advanced levels is that one will be blessed, one will receive all good fortune, and if one is a leader, as we're coming to this point in this description of the duties of a leader, of a king, if one follows the instructions of the Supreme Personality of God, then everything will be successful in one's kingdom. So he's explaining that indirectly to the king. And then he says, why are you asking me? You're the king. You are empowered by the Supreme Personality of God. This is also a very important instruction here, that you are the representative of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, you can understand this better than I. So this is a very important description of the potency of a king. Also, when Sanatana Goswami was imprisoned by the same king, he also said to the king that because you are the representative of the Supreme Personality of God, whatever punishment you confer upon me, I accept it. I've done wrong. You think that I've done wrong. I agree. I accept it. And because you are the representative of God, therefore, I accept whatever punishment you give me as being ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very, very important and very instructive. Even sadhus, and of course, here they're sadhus, but they become Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Even personalities on that level exemplary show this example of respecting a king, even though he was Mohammedan. Wasn't even the same quote-unquote religion. He wasn't a Hindu king. He was a Mohammedan king. And in the Vedic Shastras, at least, on one level, those who are born in Mohammedan families are not considered as advanced spiritually as other spiritual practitioners or followers of the Vedas. They're considered untouchables. Yes, I didn't want to use that word, but yeah, well, this class is going out over the internet, you know. So, got to tell it like it is. Yes, they're considered not as spiritually advanced, we'll put it that way. And however, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, somehow or other, this is a very interesting pastime, and we don't have a lot of insight or explanation into exactly how all this took place. But somehow or other, these great personalities, Rupa and Sanatana, who are the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are manjaris in the spiritual world, they come and appear in this material world and take the position of assistants to a Mohammedan king. They're born in very good Brahmana families, very high class Brahmana families, and yet somehow or other they're employed under the in the service of a Mohammedan king. What happened? I mean, there must have been some Hindu leaders at the time, or something else they could have done in the Brahmana community to earn their livelihood. But somehow or other, they took this, which was considered low class service to a Mohammedan king, and in effect, they were rejected from the Hindu community as a result.
That
Oh, that's right.
I don't think you're aware of all the different details, but it's not like they went running to the guy's king. They were enlisted by him, being very brilliant, and
right. Yeah, that, now
under
I remember
threat that he would destroy the Hindu. He'd already destroyed so many Hindu Brahmins and temples. A despot, horrible. He was a horrible guy. It wasn't just he wanted. He wanted to destroy and take over Orissa.
It wasn't there like there was, I believe, some kind of yogi or prophet who the king inquired from, looking for the most intelligent person in the area. Isn't that how?
Architect was being threatened. He had built something wrong, and then they helped correct it. There's some story there. That's part of it. But
so there is another force of circumstance.
Yeah, it wasn't like they, lined up, did the job, put in their application.
Yeah.
Things didn't work that way. He was a heavy demoniac, despot, dictator, demon, rascal, Brahmin killer, untouchable freak, And later on, there's a lot more details in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where even though that message was sent and everyone was worried, people were worried, but Lord Chaitanya was totally in ecstasy. Finally said, what do you mean if the king, I don't want the king to come here, he's not going to see me, what to speak of, do anything to me, why are you worried? And if he comes here, I'm completely in control. But people, in his Leela, they're worried, but Lord Chaitanya wasn't at all concerned, although he left finally. But Sanatan said, why are you going to Vrindavan with all these people?
In one of the previous verses.
Pieces have to fit in from Chaitanya Bhagavat, kind of.
So there's a whole pastime. Yeah, but it's interesting that somehow or other, the Lord's eternal associates come into the material world and they're forced into this position. Sometimes people who are even other followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati have trouble understanding Srila Prabhupada's position. As far as we're concerned, we consider Srila Prabhupada as a Nitya Siddha, an eternal associate of the Lord, and he appeared just as Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati as part of a chain of associates of the Lord to spread Krishna consciousness. But some are unable to accept that Srila Prabhupada is in that position. But I would imagine that even during that time of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, some people may have had a hard time understanding how could these guys who were born in the Brahmin family and then were engaged by a Mohammedan king and lost their status as Brahmanas, and that they're eternal associates of the Lord. It may have been a little difficult for some people at that time also. But in any case, the next point, we're running out of time, is that Rupa Goswami informs the king that he should confer with his own mind in order to understand who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and he assures the king that whatever occurs in his mind could be considered evidence. So even with that description of the king that you gave, that wonderful description of his advanced devotional qualities, he still had some empowerment to understand situations by the influence of the super soul. It's no accident that somebody becomes a king or a leader. And somehow or other, the Lord's plan is there, and there is the influence of Paramatma as a guide or an influence, to some extent at least, in the heart of a leader. And then the king replies, I consider Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no doubt about it. So how is that? That's kind of inconceivable. It's just like you could see in the pastime of Jai and Vijay, that Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu, somewhere in their constitution, in their deeper understanding, they knew who they were and that they had come to participate with the Lord as demons in his pastimes, to become antagonistic to him. They may not have remembered in their full consciousness and their full awareness, but that was the situation. So somehow or other, this king is a great demon, as Pushkar has described, but he's able to understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet later on, he puts Sanatana Goswami in prison also, and inhibits him from joining Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a lot of things going on here, sometimes contradictory things, but this is all part of the Lord's Leela to accomplish certain ends. And we don't always know who these personalities are. It's sometimes beyond our understanding. We can just accept it as it is. After having this conversation with Rupa Goswami, the king entered his private house. Rupa Goswami, then known as W. Kash, also returned to his residence. Then Srila Prabhupada describes the importance of the monarch. And I was going to read these nice verses from the Bhagavad Gita and a little of the purport, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha manur ichvakave bravit. Translation: the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. And in the first paragraph, Prabhupada explains in the purport, herein we find the history of the Bhagavad Gita traced from a remote time when it was delivered to the royal order of all planets, beginning from the sun planet. The kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. In other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness so that the people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful path, utilizing the opportunity of the human form of life. So Srila Prabhupada is stressing there always has to be a leader. This is Varnashram Dharma. There always has to be a king. There always has to be the subjects. And the duty of the king as the leader of the subjects is to, of course, take care of their material necessities, but also to take care of their spiritual necessities and ensure that they become free from the bondage to lust by understanding their relationship with God. At least some system of religion has to be propagated by a leader. And unfortunately, in our modern society, or societies of the world, this has not been the case. And more there's separation of church and state. And as science progresses and becomes more influential, the genuine knowledge of scriptures and of Godhead and the purpose of life becomes minimized more and more and more. Society will become more and more materialistic. People will forget the meaning of life, who they are, and engage in more and more sinful activities. So this is just the way things progress. As soon as there are no religious principles, then things have to progress in a material sense, and people will become degraded. In a way, this is the proof of the power of religion, of the power of religious principles, because as soon as there are no religious principles, no matter how people may be materially advanced or even on the humanistic platform or the platform of trying to help human society in some way or other, manoritenasati dhavato bahi, they are flickering on the mental platform, and they will not be able to maintain their attitude of so-called service to society. And gradually things will become more and more degraded, and everything will be will be lost in the eventual course of Kali Yuga. So I'm going to stop here. If there are any other comments or questions. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I just have a question about this king. Does it say there that he's king of Bengal or the whole country?
It says, let's see.
I believe it's the king of Bengal. So Bengal must have been a real huge province, because I remember reading or hearing recently that East Bengal was Bangladesh.
Bangladesh.
So that's just east, so anyway, it must have been a huge province. So even though this king had some momentary realization that Lord Chaitanya must have been the Supreme Personality of God, it didn't go beyond that. He arrested Sanatana Goswami.
But it's like Kamsa also had these realizations.
Oh, that's,
saw the marks on it on his back. The king's wife saw the marks on his back when he was a king. And said, "Well, how'd you get these scars?" And he said, "Well, when I was young, I was a servant of Subhuti Roy." And she said, "You should kill him. You're the king now." He said, "No, I can't do that. It's not right because I grew up with him." And then he had to compromise and throw water on him, make him into a Muslim, and then he had to go and go to Vrindavan. He was a very rich man, and Chaitanya Prabhu advised him just chant Hare Krishna. Different Bhattacharyas were telling him crazy things, like he had to drink boiling ghee to atone for having water from a Muslim sprinkled on him and all that. So, so the king was actually, in his youth, was just a servant, but he made him work himself. He was such a heavy-duty guy, he worked himself up to be the king of Bengal.
It is quite different from the Chand Kazi.
Chand, he's just a local.
He was a local king in Navadvip area. He obviously was completely changed and converted to Krishna consciousness, even though he remained as a Mohammedan. Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, not much philosophy here in these verses. So, not that I'm very good at philosophy. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
What day?